couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to travel to Birmingham, Alabama, just outside of Birmingham, and preach in a church there all week long. And it's an exciting church that God's really using to reach that community. And they're going to be partnering with us in planting churches out here in Las Vegas. But the difficulty for me was that it was in a rural setting. It was kind of a bedroom community to Birmingham. And so to get to the church was almost impossible. I mean, it was on a road that you don't just find it. You don't just stumble across it. And so I had to have some really good directions to get there. And the morning service, the pastor actually picked me up at the hotel, and I drove with him. I rode with him in his vehicle to the church. And so no problem. Well, that evening, he dumped the responsibility on me. I had my own vehicle. He said, "You drive to the church." And I thought, no problem. I rode with him that morning. But the problem for me is if I don't really pay attention, I don't know where I'm going. When I'm not driving, I don't pay the best attention in the world. And so I was kind of guessing a little bit, but I made it to the church just fine and got there and preached the service. The service went wonderful. But at the end of the service, it was time to go home. And there was a part of the strategy that didn't work out just right. When I came to the church that evening, it was daylight. When I left, it was dark. And it was Alabama dark. In Alabama, I'm from Alabama, there's still some places we don't have street lights yet. And this was one of them. It was out on a rural road and there were no street lights. And so it was really, really dark. And so I leave the church thinking, okay, I've got to remember every one of these turns or I'll never make it back to the hotel. Well, the first turn I had to make was to make a right. And I take off and I'm thinking, okay, I've got this right coming up. I know it's just it's not far. And I drive 5 minutes, 10 minutes, almost 15 minutes, and I go, you know what? I missed that first turn. And I came to this conclusion on that very dark road. If I don't turn around now, I'll never get back to the hotel. Because if you start going the wrong direction, you'll never get to your destination. Christianity's a lot like that. It doesn't matter how sincere you are. It doesn't matter how committed you may be. It didn't matter that night on that little road how determined I was to get to the hotel. If I was going in the wrong direction, I wasn't going to get there. I'm afraid today that there are many people that are filling churches this weekend, Christian churches, who are going through all the motions of Christianity, and yet because they've started at the wrong place, and they're going in the wrong direction, they'll never achieve their destination. We're taking the next 6 weeks together. We started last week, 7 weeks, and we're studying the question, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? I really believe that in America, we've missed it. We have so westernized and so made religion out of this thing called Christianity that we've missed the heart of what Christianity is all about. We've missed the starting point. And so I believe there are many people today who profess Christianity, who attend Christian churches, and who perform Christian ministry that have missed the heart of what Christianity is all about, and so we'll never get where we're going. We began to answer that question last week, and we answered it with a statement. We said, what does a Jesus follower look like? The life of a Jesus follower is all about relationships. We said that last Sunday morning. What does it mean that following Jesus is about relationships? Well, we summarized it last week by saying that there are three relationships in following Christ. The first one is a relationship with God. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. That's the starting point. Everything else about Christianity, everything else about following Jesus is about a relationship with God. That is the beginning. If you miss that, none of the rest of Christianity has any relevance. If you miss the idea about a personal relationship with God. So we're going to talk about that this morning and then next week. The second relationship is a relationship with one another. As believers in Jesus, we now have a relationship with God, but that's introduced us into a relationship with God's family. The church, we now have a relationship with one another, and we're going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks. The third relationship is a relationship with the world. These three relationships are going to be the foundation of everything we talk about for the next 6 weeks. We're going to take 2 weeks and study each of these in great detail. This morning, we're going to focus on the starting point, the relationship with God, and to make sure that we are traveling in the right direction. What I'd like for us to do this morning is I would like for us to take a look at the very first followers of Jesus. Those first men that he called to himself and invited to follow him. I want us to read this morning from Mark chapter 3. If you have your Bible, you can open it there. Mark chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 13. We're going to read verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, "And he went up on the mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted. And they came to him. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach." Out of those two simple verses, I want us to see three truths about the life of a Jesus follower. And here's the first one. Following Jesus, being a Jesus follower, begins with an invitation. In these verses, we see Jesus extending an invitation to a specific group of people to follow him. The first thing I want you to notice about this invitation is that Jesus invited them to follow him. Notice what the verse says. He went up on the mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted. One of the first things that I do in studying a passage of Scripture to teach it in a weekend service, or to teach it anywhere for that matter, is what I call a word study. The Greek language, the verbs in particular in the Greek language are loaded with meaning. There's so much meaning and so much significance wrapped up in the words that were chosen. Where you and I today communicate with words, we more communicate with complete thoughts, with whole sentences and paragraphs. But in the Greek language, every word had incredible significance and was loaded with meaning. The word that Jesus uses here, the word summoned, is a word that literally means to call or to invite to oneself. It doesn't mean just to extend an invitation. It specifically means to invite someone to join you personally. And this word is loaded with significance. Every aspect of this word stresses that the invitation was not to a destination, but to a relationship with a person. Jesus invited them to himself. He summoned them to himself. He called them. The invitation was to a personal relationship. That's significant because to follow Jesus is not an invitation to participate in a religion. To follow Jesus is not an invitation to get involved in church. To follow Jesus is not an invitation to moral activity, do's and don'ts. To follow Jesus is not even simply an invitation to go to heaven when you die. To follow Jesus is an invitation to enjoy a relationship with the God who made you through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not down on the part that we get to go to heaven when we die. That's a good part. And all believers in Jesus ultimately go to heaven. But some people have the idea that Christianity is this deal where I pray this prayer and ask God into my life, and then I live the rest of my life and I pick up with Christianity when I die and go to heaven. It's much more than that. The invitation of Christ is not to a destination. It's not to a religion. It's not to rules. His invitation is to an intimate, personal relationship with himself. Well, why did God invite them into this relationship? He did so because he loved them. Jesus invited them to follow him because he loved them. Notice what the text says. And he went up on the mountain and summoned those, listen to this phrase, whom he himself wanted. The word want literally means to desire. To desire. The Bible here tells us that God invited these people through Christ into relationship with himself because he desired a relationship with them. Now let that sink in. It wasn't that they wanted a relationship with God. It was that he loved them so much that he wanted a relationship with them. He specifically invited them into a personal relationship with himself. Why? Because they needed it? Well, sure, they needed it. But that's not the primary reason. The text says is because he wanted it. He desired. Get this picture. Here were these men that recognized that God had entered human existence in the person of Jesus Christ, the one that had created them, the one that had created everything that they knew in existence. The God, the creator of the world, had entered human existence in the person of Jesus Christ and spoke to them directly and said, I desire a relationship with you so much that I'm inviting you into a personal relationship with me. Can you imagine the excitement that they must have had? You say, well, that's great for them. What about me? I want you to see a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Listen to what the Bible says. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires. There's the same word that's used in Mark. Desires. What does it say? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's that word desire again. The Bible says it is the desire of God. God desires that all men, the word all means the whole. Men is symbolism for every human being. Hear what the Bible says. It is the desire of God that every human being have a relationship with Him. This morning, I don't care who you are or where you come from, the Bible says, this preacher doesn't say, this church doesn't say, the Bible says, the Word of God says this morning, God loves you and wants an intimate personal relationship with every person in this building. He desires it. The word desire could also be translated purpose. God purposes. What does that mean? I think it means this. God's purpose for every human being can only be enjoyed in a loving relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. You'll never experience the life God created you to enjoy apart from a personal relationship with the God who made you. It's part of God's plan for your life. God's purpose for your life. The meaning and the significance and the value of life can only be found in the context of an intimate relationship with God through Christ. But there's a problem. Look at this verse in Isaiah chapter 59. The Bible says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. You see, it is true that God loves us and wants a relationship with us, but God is also holy, and because He's holy, He cannot be in relationship with sin. And the Bible says that every one of us have sinned, and the relationship with God that is the ultimate fulfillment of my life's purpose, I cannot enjoy because of sin. Because I've broken God's laws, because I've sinned against God, the relationship that I've been created to enjoy, I'm separated from because of my sin. I cannot have a relationship with God. That's what the Bible teaches. That's why sin is such a big deal. It's not just a little disobedience. It's not just kind of getting out of bounds. It's not just something to laugh at. Sin is serious because sin robs me. Sin robs me of the ultimate fulfillment of life, and that is a relationship with God through which everything else in my life finds significance and value. Sin robs me of that. But the Bible says there's a solution. Back in 1 Timothy, where we were just reading, right after God said He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, look at what He said. He said, and there is one God and one mediator between God and men. What is a mediator? A mediator is someone that takes two people that are opposed, two people that are separated, and he brings reconciliation. He takes their differences away, and he brings them together. The Bible says between God and men, between God and every human being, there is a mediator, someone who exists to bring reconciliation that has taken the sin problem. And who is that? The Bible says it is the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. On the cross, Christ Jesus took all of my sin and all of my suffering. And now he invites me. When Jesus says, come, follow me, what he is inviting us into is a relationship with God through him as our mediator. Let me summarize it. There is a God who created you and desires a relationship with you. But because of sin, we're separated from the very reason for our existence, a relationship with God. But God loves you so much that he gave his only son, that through him our sin can be taken away and the relationship be restored. But that leads me to the third thing about this invitation. Not only was it an invitation to a relationship to follow him, and not only was that invitation given because he loved them, but his invitation must be accepted. It must be accepted. Look what the Bible says back in Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And he went up on the mountain and summoned those who he himself wanted, and they came to him. They came. You see, they had to respond to God's invitation. There's nothing in the verse here that tells us that Jesus coerced or persuaded. It just says very simply that Jesus gave them an invitation and said, follow me. And every implication of these verses is that Jesus began to walk away. And it was up to them to respond. You see, this morning, the reality is you have a life that can only be realized through a relationship with God. The life that you have, you'll never enjoy it to its fullest without God. You can't. It wasn't designed to be shaped that way. God's done everything he can do in his power to give you that relationship with himself. He's given his son Christ on the cross. He's extended an invitation to you. But God will not force you into a relationship with himself. You must respond and accept that relationship. And I like the word that the Bible uses here. It says they came to him. The word came there literally is a word that means to go away. It means to depart, to set off on a journey. I love that definition. They came to him. Read it that way. They set off on a journey with him. You see, following Jesus is not an event that happens in your life. Sure, there is that moment in time when I surrender the control of my life to Jesus Christ. But following Jesus is a journey that carries me through the rest of my life. It's not an event that happens and then I wait till I die to experience the fullness of it. You know what heaven is? Heaven is taking the relationship to a whole new level. But while we live on this earth, following Jesus is a journey every day. Begins with an invitation. This morning, that's the starting point. If you miss that, you miss everything else. There's some verses in Matthew chapter 7, and I don't have time to really turn there. But if you're familiar with them, in Matthew 7, the Bible says that there's a group of people that come to Jesus at the end of the age. And they say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And Lord, did we not perform many miracles? And Lord, did we not? And the Bible says, Jesus says to them, depart from me. Why? Listen to what he said. Because I never knew you. And if you were to stand before God and God were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would be your answer? You know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid many people sitting in churches in America would begin their answer like this. Well, I went to church every week. I read my Bible every day. I prayed. I gave my money. I served. I led small groups. I preached sermons. I sang in the choir. I led music. I went on mission. All that's irrelevant if you miss the starting point. Jesus said, what matters is, do you know me and do I know you? Have you ever accepted the relationship? Let me tell you the second thing about a Jesus follower out of these verses. Being a Jesus follower is all about intimacy. It's all about intimacy. Look back in Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And he appointed 12. So that. That's an important phrase. So that. What was the purpose of this following him? When you see that little phrase, so that, it's like a light that just jumps off the page. It literally means for this purpose. Here's the reason. Here's why he invited them into this relationship. Here's why he wanted and desired this relationship with them. What does it say? So that. They would be with him. Let me tell you what the purpose is. To be with him. Some people say, what is the goal of the Christian life? Well, it's to live for God. He saved me, and now I'm going to live for him. Did Jesus say, I've invited you into a relationship with myself so that you can live for me? No. What did he say? So that you can be with me. I'm going to put a saying on the screen, a phrase, and I want you to write it down if you have some space there. Here it is. Following Jesus is not about doing. It is about being. You know what the goal of the whole thing is? The relationship. Now that's hard for us to get a hold of. Because you know what we think? Here's what we think. In America, we have been so Christianized. We have been so Western churched that when we hear relationship with God, immediately we begin to think about the doing. What that means is, I go to church. People hear a message like this and say, man, you know, that's right. I'll never enjoy the fulfillment of my life without a relationship with God. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get back in church. We immediately begin to think about doing. But it's not about doing. It's about being. It's about an intimate personal relationship with God. And nothing else has meaning or significance without that. This church has nothing to offer you but Christ. And if you find Him, He's enough. He's all we need. Now, does that mean that we don't have churches? We don't go? No, all of those things have their context, but they have no value without the relationship. Their meaning and their significance and their value is found in the relationship that I have personally with God. Remember John 17:3? We looked at it last week. Listen to this translation of it by J.B. Phillips, a great Greek scholar. He said, and this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Him whom you have sent, Jesus Christ. Can I give you the simplest summary you've ever heard of the Christian life? Here are the two goals of Christianity. First, there is an overall goal. You know what it is? To know God. It's not to live for Him. It's not to accomplish objectives. It's to know God. Now, if that's the big goal, what's the daily goal? The daily goal is to spend time with God. What is the most difficult thing in your Christian life to do with regularity? Spend time with God on a daily basis. Why is that so hard? Why is that so difficult? That we so easily neglect. We'll come to church, man, we'll lead our small groups, we'll preach our sermons, we'll sing our songs. But it's so easy to move away from that intimate time with God every day. Why is that so difficult? Because the enemy knows that's the goal. And he doesn't care what you do as long as you don't be. Because the real deal is all about being. It's all about intimacy with God. Let me give you the third point, and I got to move on. Finally, being a Jesus follower overflows in every area of my life. Look at verse 14. And if you catch this, man, it is going to radically set you free. Look at verse 14. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. You say, aha, there it is. You got to do. You got to go do something. The word send literally means to send out on a mission. The word preach is the word that just means proclaim. It means to make public. God had a mission for their lives. And His mission was that their lives would make public His life. But listen to this. That would only be possible as the overflow of their being with Him. Did you catch that? Sure, there was a mission. The mission was that their lives would make public His life. But, the only way that happens is out of the overflow of our intimate fellowship relationship with God. Notice the he versus the they. Look at verse 14. So that they would be with Him. You hear that? And that who? He could send them out to preach. What was their part? To be. What was His part? To do. They were to be with Him. He would send them out to preach. Look at this quote on the screen. Everything Jesus desires to do through you, He will accomplish as the overflow of His relationship with you. Here's the design. You and I as followers of Christ become intimate with God. We grow in our daily relationship with Him as we spend time with Him. And as we spend time with Him and as we get to know Christ, the overflow of our lives is that Christ becomes manifest in our lives and our lives make public His life. Not because we're trying to, but because we've so grown to know Him that the overflow of our life is that people see Christ in us and are drawn to the person of Jesus Christ. That is what following Jesus is all about. It's what it's all about. Let me give you an illustration in closing from my life. A few years ago as a pastor, I didn't understand this. I was caught up in doing. It was my job to grow the church and preach the gospel and reach lost people and engage the nations. That was my job as the pastor. I was to lead our church. I thought that was what my role was. And it was real easy for me to get away from the being and focus on the doing. I mean, if anybody could justify the doing, a pastor can justify it. I mean, I'm doing His work. And God brought it all crashing down and left me a broken man before Him. And in that process, God brought an individual into my life named Clyde Cranford. And I've shared his name with you before. And Clyde began to disciple me personally. And Clyde began to focus me on the being. And taught me to pursue Christ personally. And Clyde said, Vance, anything God wants to do through you, He'll do as the overflow of His relationship with you. And so I just began to focus on the relationship. One morning I was having a quiet time. It's my personal time with God. And I was reading in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. When I read that morning, I saw in Christ's life a passion to be involved in expanding God's kingdom in other cities. And it was like a light came on, and I said, Lord, if that's Your heart, that needs to be my heart. And God was changing my perspective. God was changing me internally and opening my eyes to the idea that God's got this kingdom out there and God wants to expand His kingdom. So I went home to my wife and I said, Christy, we need to pray. I think God may be doing something in our lives. God's shown me something this morning about me that I need to get right and we need to be ready to do whatever God says. And so we said, yes, Lord. We don't know when, we don't know where, but yes. 2 weeks later, a man called me and he said, Vance, our church is starting a church in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I believe you're to be the pastor of that church. Long story short, here we are. This weekend we'll be in 3 services, have close to 1,000 people. We're working in 5 nations, and another church is being planted on the west side of town. Now, don't mishear what I'm saying. God didn't need me to do that. But I've asked myself this question oftentimes. What would I have missed if I hadn't been with him that morning? You see, everything over the last 3 years, God's let me get in on. He did it. It's not me, okay? He did it. But everything he's let me get in on happened as the overflow of being with him. I don't want to miss what he wants me to do. And as I look around this room, I don't think anybody in this room wants to miss it. Then here's the challenge. The goal is being. The goal is knowing. It's intimacy. It's all about intimacy with God. There is no substitute. You want to know God's will for your life? Be intimate with Him. You want to be a great parent to your children? Be intimate with God. You want to be a husband or a wife to your spouse? You be intimate with God. You want to be the employee or the employer you're supposed to be? Be intimate with God. Everything God wants to do in your life, He'll do as the overflow of your relationship with Him. Let's pray.